What is going on, everyone, in Poker Land? I hope things are great. I hope you're ready for another exciting episode of Poker A here on Quadjacks Radio. I'd just like to start off by apologizing for my co-host, Averro, who seems to be lost in a Detroit airport somewhere. He is not available for tonight's show. Mr. Averro will be back from Costa Rica next week. He took a little more time off to relax after the fun in the sun. I do hope you are having a great night. It is beautiful here in lovely suburban Ottawa. Rain is falling, but the beautiful weather is a-coming on the weekend. I hope this is the same for all of you. As Averro is not here, I will be manning the ship tonight with our super producer, Zach, on the board, making sure that things do not go out of control. We will have three guests tonight, so, Averro, take a hike. We don't have time for you. We've got some big guests on the line tonight. We do have Stuart Hogner that'll be on with us later today, as well as Mr. Paul Burns. They'll both be talking about a very interesting developments from the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation. They announced on Tuesday that some sort of a mega casino may be coming to downtown Toronto, or at least the Greater Toronto Area, mentioning that Ottawa might be a site as well. So, curious to hear what their thoughts are about that. We also have a super legend from Quebec, Pascal Lefrancois. He will be joining us as well. I'll be happy to have a fellow French Canadian on board for the first time on Poker A. Pascal, as you all know, is a bracelet winner and a just an all-around great guy. We'll also talk about why he decided to take his World Series of Poker victory to picture without a shirt, because that seems to be the focus of that victory from 2 years ago. Of course, a few months before, his good friend Jonathan Duhamel picked up the win in the main event. Speaking of live results, we've got our good friend Michael Timex McDonald. He is doing it and representing Canada in lovely Madrid. EPT Madrid is down to the top 24, and he is fifth in chips. He was chip leader yesterday, now fifth in chips after today's play, which was day three, and day four starting tomorrow. A fellow Canadian, Yan Zion, was eliminated later on in the day, as was Melanie Wisner. A lot of people are fans of Melanie and do hope that she does well. Interesting point from EPT Madrid is Bruno Lopes. He's a French rap star. He goes under the name of Cool Shen in France, and I assume he's also popular in other European countries. He's third in chips, and he's having a crazy year on the poker scene. He's won the Euro Finals of Poker in France already this year, cashed at EPT Deauville in France again, and also bubbled the WPT final table at WPT National Mauritius. So just fascinating story, and I will try to delve into it a bit more and give you some more news on Bruno Lopes. He's a man in his mid-40s, but still pounds out the rap songs. He does a lot of thoughtful rapping, and instead of the gangsta rap as we maybe are used to in North America. So quite interesting story that Bruno Lopes seems to be doing fine on the poker table. Just a last quick note on the live action. The Wynn Classic main event is ongoing as we speak. As of my last viewing of the Wynn Facebook page, Andrew Lichtenberger was the chip leader, as five people remain, and that is almost a million-dollar tourney, so definitely big news coming out of Las Vegas and the ever-popular Wynn Classic main event. Super producer Zach, whenever you are ready, we will bring on our first two guests, and we'll be talking some Ontario legislation, which is not something I thought I'd do in my career in poker, but it does seem like it's going to happen. Do we have our two fine guests on? Mr. Stu, are you on?
I'm here.
Stuart Hogner, the senior gaming lawyer and accountant for
gaming. Hi, it's Paul Burns.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Paul Burns. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Mr. Paul Burns, the Vice President of the Canadian Gaming Association. Mr. Burns, as I mentioned, we are joined by Stuart Hogner. He is the Senior Gaming Lawyer and Accountant from GamingCouncil.co. Mr. Hogner, a very impressive bio, by the way, which I was going through earlier today. I do welcome both of you to Poker A on Quadjacks Radio, and I thank you for joining us tonight.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Glad to be here.
perfect. Let's dive right into it, gentlemen. On Tuesday, the Ontario Lottery Gaming Corporation chair, Paul Godfrey, former Rogers and Blue Jays exec, he announced some pretty big news that, to me, was sort of groundbreaking. It might not have been to others, as you two being experts in the scene, but announcing that the Greater Toronto Area would be getting a casino in what seems to be the not too distant future. Your initial thoughts on that release, Stu first.
Well, what you're referring to, Eric, is the report, the strategic review that came out of Ontario Lottery and Gaming, the provincial monopoly, and contains advice to the provincial government. Now, Paul is actually listed as one of the stakeholders in the report, so he might actually be the better guy to talk about this. But the strategic review has been going on since 2010. The review concluded that, of course, OLG has done well and provided many benefits to the province over the past 20 years, but that the current gaming model in Ontario needs to change to meet customer demand. The report basically recommends three things. Of course, expensive reports always have three objectives or recommendations, right? Two isn't enough and four is too much. So the first is become more customer-focused. Expand lottery sales to multi-lane retailers like big box stores and supermarkets. Expand and consolidate gaming sites. Essentially, put gaming facilities where customers are. And it's in this recommendation that the Toronto casino is being floated. Second is expand regulated private sector delivery of lottery and gaming. The province wants to shift more costs for things like CapEx to the private sector while maintaining control. OLG would manage the provincial market and the private sector would invest in it. And finally, renew OLG's role in oversight of lottery and gaming. OLG says it wants to become leaner and more efficient and focused on market management and oversight. That's sort of a general overview of sort of the context and where the Toronto casino idea fits in. Paul, do you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I think that the biggest initiative out of this is the Ontario Lottery and Gaming getting out of the direct operating business. That there will be what they refer to as zones created that obviously have existing gaming properties in them. There will be a RFP tender process at some point in the near future to ask the private sector to come and bid and operate. What it also means is that you don't have to accept the existing facilities, whether it's a slot, a racetrack, or a casino, that there probably will be an ability to locate those to willing communities. Municipal approval will be required. But it is a case of moving it to where the populations are. A lot of Ontario's casinos are on border locations that relied on American business that's not there the way it once was. Or they're in semi-rural locations where racetracks have been that have slot machines. So they're looking to reshape their business. And it's a very good first step. And the details really define the success of this are yet to come, but we're expecting them shortly.
Paul, one thing that in the reports I've read that both Toronto Mayor Rob Ford and his brother, Councillor Doug Ford, do really seem to be, I guess, in favor of this. Would that make Toronto the obvious first site for this this new breed of casino?
Well, it very well may. It's, again, yet to be seen the details. There's lots of discussion going on in Toronto right now about this. A lot of the debate is nice rhetoric and a lot of emotion and a lot of misinformation going on at this point, too. So it's the usual straw man that are put up when people talk about gaming properties is running rampant in the media at this point. And you know, I think that what the city has to realize is what the Ontario government has just done is given an opportunity for, and they refer to it as the Greater Toronto Area, so not the City of Toronto per se, it's in their mind, but it's obvious that's the obvious choice is in the central core of Toronto. But the province of Ontario has offered them what amounts to be an economic development project of a casino property that could be in the 500 million plus range, which doesn't come along very often. So I think everybody has to take a good, long, hard look at the potential that this could offer.
and questions to both of you, when do you see this first coming into operation? Is this something that we're talking about? Maybe I am jumping the gun and thinking this would be coming sooner rather than later, but is this something that we're looking at 5 years, 7 years from now, or could this come short, you know, sooner rather than later?
The chairman and the CEO of Ontario Lottery and Gaming indicated that this reshape of their gaming business and modernization will occur over the next 6 years. Now, I don't think Toronto's going to have to wait 6 years, but I don't know how quickly it will come. We'll wait and see. We haven't heard anything else. The other part of this that hasn't been talked about a lot, which is very significant in its own, is the outsourcing of the lottery network. So the back end of the lottery system is going to be outsourced as well. So there is a significant move away from the direct operating business by OLG.
Stu, in the press releases that I've read, the reports I've read, there seems to be a little snippet that has to do with online gaming. And I found that curious that, from what I've read, it doesn't seem to be, you know, in focus in those articles, but definitely some sort of internet-based gaming site that they would introduce as well with this project. Is that something you've heard about a bit more? Or?
Yeah, the report integrates the concept of internet gaming, and it actually estimates $375 million in net profit to the province from internet gaming over 5 years. Now, you may not have heard a lot around that in this particular strategic review, but that's been ongoing for a couple of years, and in fact, OLG plans to roll out their offering and start it later this year. So they're estimating $375 million over the next 5 years. That might be consistent with what was predicted about 2 years ago when the finance minister suggested that, my memory serves, by the fifth year of operation, the provincial monopoly offering could bring in $100 million per year. So if you put it another way, the entire internet gaming industry in Canada is set on most recent estimates I've seen, and Paul would probably know more about this, which are a couple of years old anyway, maybe $1 billion to $1.1 billion in terms of the value of the online gaming market in Canada. Ontario's share is believed by the province to be about $400 million, and they want to capture about a quarter of that as profit within 5 years. So that's sort of their game plan as far as internet gaming goes.
Paul, I know that you were heavily involved with the single events sports wagering, and we know that it seems to be coming closer and closer to pass in the House of Commons. Do you think this has any correlation with that, and is there would it mesh together with the OLG getting involved with the Ontario government in this situation?
Well, Ontario government was one of the first provinces to make the request to the federal government to change the laws to permit single event wagering. That was back in actually 2007-8. Other provinces have subsequently joined in, British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, a few others, and we've been very fortunate that the process of Bill C-290 in the House of Commons. It's a private member's bill, and they're not usually very successful, but Joe Kilmartin, who's the NDP member from Windsor, obviously sees it as a product for the Caesars Windsor property that would help bring Americans back over the border. I think that Ontario has not decided firmly what it intends to do with sports betting, but one of the indications they have made that they see it as a casino sportsbook product. They listed it as a potential rollout on the online, in their request for proposal around online, in their third phase of expansion, which will also probably include poker. So they're not starting with that. It won't. But I think the other provinces are looking at it a little differently. And I wouldn't be surprised to see British Columbia, for example, look at it as an online product. So, because clearly that's what Canadians are spending a great deal of money on, offshore sports books. And it's a popular product, and they want to have access to it. So, but the provinces haven't indicated in a strong fashion. We've still got a few legislative hurdles to go. It was receiving second reading in the Senate today, and we'll then go to committee in the Senate probably in April and hopefully pass before the summer recess at the end of June. And then it would require royal assent, which is the last step, and hopefully that would come on the heels of the passage in the Senate. So we're not far away, but we still have a few hurdles to go.
Stu, am I to understand that things seem to be progressing when it comes to gaming in Canada? In fact, to a level that it does seem like things will get regulated. Therefore, a customer would not need to go offshore, for example, in an unsafe territory. And same going for poker online, which is obviously something that is close to our hearts here at Quad Jacks. Would it make sense to say that what happened in the U.S. last April with Black Friday, that it looks less and less likely like something like that would happen in our country?
It's difficult to say. The Canadian authorities have never seemed to have the same zeal for enforcement as U.S. law enforcement has, and they don't have the same tools at their disposal either in certain respects. But that's never really been a focus of Canadian law enforcement, at least in terms of internet gaming. There have been prosecutions in Canada, but they've been very different than the sorts of enforcement actions that you've seen in the States. As to whether that becomes more or less likely the more the provinces get involved in internet gaming, I think that's something that can be discussed. I think that's something that's really not entirely known. In certain respects, you might expect that something like that would become more likely. The more stake any of the provinces have in that kind of an environment, I mean, BC and Quebec are online with interactive offerings now. Ontario is coming out later this year. You might expect that enforcement actions would potentially ratchet up, but that's just a guess.
It does seem that the focus, and I'm not a big law guy, so maybe I'm wrong here, but has the Canadian government basically told the provinces to take care of their own, or is there a chance that the Canadian government makes it a countrywide effort?
I don't know if it's going to be a countrywide effort or not. The provinces don't have many tools at their disposal in terms of trying to prevent access. So it's an issue that's getting talked about more, but I don't know whether anybody's actually proceeding to do anything at this point in time, which is, the provinces, the chairman of the OLG in the press conference made reference to wanting enforcement, but I don't believe there's anything afoot at this point in time. It does require a lot of resources, and I don't know if law enforcement is taking up the charge or not. So I think it's we wait to see, but I think that it is definitely being talked about more as the provincial lottery corporations are expanding their offerings.
So just maybe to add to that, Paul's right. I think there's been, historically, there's been a lot of talk by Canadian policymakers and the monopoly providers in the provinces about enforcement actions. And in a lot of ways, it's really just been that. It's just been talk or rhetoric. That could change. The other thing to note is that there's been a working group that had been meeting in the past, over the last few years, composed of the Department of representatives of the Department of Justice at the federal level and the various ministries of justice in the provinces, and this working group apparently has shown comparatively little appetite for the sorts of enforcement measures that have been undertaken in the States. Again, that could change as well, as Paul notes, but something to keep in mind.
Paul, where do you see us in 5 years in let's say in Ontario, for example, since we're focusing in Ontario, but where do you see online gaming, sports betting, and all that good stuff in the next 5 years?
Well, I think we probably see a full offering by Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation. I think the question that I cannot guess on at this point in time is access to offshore operators, whether it's been denied and prevented, or there's been a regulatory regime embraced that allows selected ones to operate in the province. I really don't know about that. I think that the Ontario gaming marketplace is heading to become a much more vibrant and active marketplace with what the OLG has started this week.
Stu, what are your thoughts?
I think Paul's got that right to the extent that you're going to see full offerings from OLG. I think the big question that Paul touches on is where they are going to be locating themselves vis-a-vis the private offshore operators, whether people are still going to be able to access those private operators, and frankly, how they're going to compete. I mean, these are huge enterprises that have been in the marketplace, building up customer bases, building up knowledge, building up technology for more than a decade. And it's a tall order to enter a market like that and compete with them. So I'm going to be interested to see how it shakes out.
Sounds good. Paul, can you take a few seconds to talk to us about the Canadian Gaming Association?
The Canadian Gaming Association was established in 2005 and really brought together for the first time the major players in the industry. We're active in education and advocacy on behalf of our members and the industry across the country. We speak out on issues of importance, both regionally and nationally. We do a little bit of lobbying efforts with the federal government, as we've been doing on sports betting and other issues. And we work with the province. We're a resource for the industry, and so we produce Canadian Gaming Business Magazine, and we host the Canadian Gaming Summit, which this year will be in Niagara Falls, June 11 to 13.
And what can Canadians do to get involved?
Well, I think that the Canadians think that if they're active gamblers and support the industry, is to speak out on what, as we've seen in Toronto right now, a lot of misinformation about what the gaming industry is. There's lots of people enjoy it. It's a popular form of entertainment, and people just need to be able to speak out and express that and why they enjoy it and what they'd like to see.
And Stu, talk to us about the Gaming Council and gamingcouncil.co.
Sure. It's my law firm here in Toronto. I'm a gaming lawyer here. I counsel clients on M&A, tax, corporate, regulatory, licensing, compliance, and IP matters. I work with clients in the Americas, in Europe, and in Asia. My clients include internet gaming operators and sports books, First Nations operators and developers, skill games operators, gaming machine manufacturers, poker pros, financial institutions, and social media entrepreneurs. That's sort of a thumbnail sketch about what I do.
That's great. Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you both for joining us tonight. And a little short notice, I do appreciate it. The news just coming out on Tuesday. And I think it's obvious to see that you two are experts in the industry. And thank you very much for all you do. And thanks for joining us tonight on Poker A.
Thanks for having us, Eric. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, take care.
Alrighty, folks, we'll take a little quick break and we'll be back in a few minutes with World Series of Poker bracelet winner Pascal Lefrancois.
This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, I can't slow down. It's gonna go.
First offense.
All the mix.
Hey! Okay, party people in the house.
May I have your attention, please?
In a moment, the beat will be played in many parts.
Come on,
hey! Ready.
Backbone, fly. You every word I say, every verb you heard I place, snap the burger break. You try to call a huff of me a roast, a fake a flag that I run a post. Oh, I'm the most. DEF's how it goes, no X's or O's or tic tac toes. LTG knows this ain't a game, I'm on a mission. Call me a hip hop tip tactician. I rap like a slab of clay, the chaseless. Chef ain't no shimmer, no glass, it's tasteless. A universe without light is lightless. That's why I always take time to write this. I'm older than my hands before I start chiseling. Could be a rain or brainstorm or drizzling. Sun could be shining, sun could be showering. Practice makes perfect, I'm powering, flowering. My lyrics are awesome and tune in for human, blooming or blossoming. Blowing away blockades and barricades, make it black and blue from the blast of the blaze. It's a blood sport, blood builds out back. I make your vision go blurry while your brain goes blank into oblivion. Beat from box to box, the bass rocks from block to block. Let your backbone slide. You try to lift your cool, but it fell again. Rap scholar, soul academic. But like I said before, I'm not American. It's who you are, not where you went. We all originate from the same descent. I make a lot of sense, and pence, gold, gold. Mary Frank and sense. When I'm in France, they floor me Frank. Frank, who just with the count is where I bang bang. At home, I make bills of brown for my sound. In the state green, like the grass in the ground. When I'm in England, they pass me pounds now. I clock cash in every town, so I slide, slide. But nowadays I'm trapped. So many suckers on my sacroiliac. It's like a rap sack backpack. Give me some slack, Jack. Rap is like a jungle. We rhyme for rhyme. It's like a vine to vine. Swung line to line of mine. I'm colossal. Use a mosquito. I'ma play Tarzan. You play cheetah. Cheetah, fighter. Love to forge. Better yet, I call you Curious George. Cause curiosity cold. Kill the cat. Can't hide. So glide to the side. Let your backbone slide. Synchronism, yo, check out my whole boy dance to the rhythm. Hey, this ain't for the day. I'm coming double F, fortune's a Moab, that's for funky fresh. My DJ is LTG, mellow flex. You Latin to the poetry, bitch, I project. Vocabulary, golden beats from my rolling. Stone cold lyrics with the microphone I'm holding. Words are rich, egos on script. I make sucker crews kick, stick, bang, I flip. Like it's busy, they're dizzy, they start to collide. They should've stepped off, stepped off. I let it slide, but now they got brazen. Try like a raisin, I glaze like a vase. I smack you like days until they realize they shouldn't. No riff, it's 89, y'all. Not Beethoven's fifth or sixth. It's a throwdown, I'm conducting it. Because of high rise, I'm constructing it. Twas once a thought, pen and paper. Now with a tower, a solar skyscraper. Let's get it out of hand, I created a monster. A musical monologue makes you wanna move with the maestro. You feel high, so it's set. The blend, the crescendo is nice, yo. I'm the guy, the rhythm is the rhythm ride. Is a ride to the fresh side, and let your backbone slide. This is a throwdown.
Welcome back to Poker A. I thought that was a very informative segment. So I do thank Paul, and I do thank Stu's for that that great segment. And I do hope that you both, that all of you in Poker A land enjoyed it as well. We are about to be joined by World Series of Poker bracelet winner Pascal Lefrançois, a very intriguing fella. I think he likes to. He likes to have a good time, and I think it's not unlike our friend Galen Cranston we had on last week. And by the way, thank you for your feedback on that show. Pascal, a devoted Montreal Canadiens fan, and he does seem to, as I said before, to enjoy the party. So I do hope that we'll have him on in the next few seconds as we are working on getting him on. And you're making a connection to lovely Montreal. Here he is.
Hi, Zach.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, hello.
See you, Pascal. How are you?
Hi, Fabrice.
Good. Pascal, we are live on air, and I'd like to thank you, first of all, for being the, after myself, the second French-Canadian for being on the Poker A show. So welcome to the show, sir.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate having you on. We talked a bit before you were on about your World Series of Poker Bracelet win from 2010. And let me start you off with this, Pascal. I run a site, the PTR Poker site, and when people search your site, you get to see the keywords they look for. And for some reason, when someone types naked in poker, they get to my site, and it's your picture, topless, after winning your bracelet. What were you thinking, first of all, and how did that happen?
My friends were cheering for me for the old days. So when I won, a girl in the crowd started screaming, "Take your shirt off!" Because all my friends had their V-neck on, and so I just thought it would be funny, and my friends were cheering for me to take my shirt off just to make fun of me, and that's why I decided to do it, just to make them laugh, and that's it.
I guess you didn't realize at the time, but a lot of people have talked about that, and I guess it was big news when you did that. The heading on my site was French Canadian goes topless, so obviously I think that's why, I had the traffic. Have you? I imagine people talk to you about that picture from time to time.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've been traveling a lot since that win to play poker, and people remember me because of this picture usually. So obviously at that point I didn't do this so people recognize me. After that, I was just thinking about having fun and making my friends laugh, but people remember that picture. I don't think it's common in the poker world.
No, not at all. You mentioned having fun, and one of my most vivid memories of the 2010 World Series main event was you and your crazy buddies cheering on Jonathan Duhamel, the first Canadian to win a bracelet in the main event. You had won earlier that year, so I assume Jonathan was a buddy of yours beforehand, so two buddies winning bracelets. We've heard rumors and rumblings. The parties after your wins must have been fun.
Yeah, for sure. Just after we made it. Jonathan made it to November 9, and I busted 11th. We had a crazy party, and obviously after his win, the party was pretty insane.
Yeah, we're still hearing about it in the poker world 2 years later. So you both represented Canada very proud. What would you say? What would you say was your what were you most proud of during that series? Was it the bracelet win, or was it surviving so many players in the main event?
Both, but my best souvenir of this summer is my win. Because there's no better feeling in poker to just win and be the last man standing. And the way I was, the main event was a great experience, but just the way I busted, and I was almost chip leading with 18 players left, so it was I felt pretty bad about losing that chip lead and those chips for a couple of days, even a couple of weeks. So I'd say both for a different reason, but my best souvenir of this summer is obviously my win.
I think a lot of people forget that with 18 people left, there was three Canadians left in the final 18, and you were the odds-on favorite to win with that chip lead. So you know, I agree with you that it must have been tough, but don't worry about it. You did represent Canada and French Canada very well during
yeah,
that.
Yeah, thank you. I just did my best, and sometimes it's not enough.
We have to mention, and I might be wrong here, but I've seen you wear Habs jerseys before, so I am to assume that you are a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Yeah, yes, I am. Even with the tough year they have.
Well, sir, I am a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, so our lives are both not very well these days. What's the problem in Montreal, Pascal? What do you think is going on?
I think the problem is the mentality the Montreal Canadian team has since a couple of years, maybe 10 years. They just try to make the playoffs every year, and they don't try to build a winning team. And I just think that we had with Bob Gainey and Pierre Gauthier, they did a really bad trade, and I just think we realized this with the season we have. I just hope we're gonna. I don't mind losing for a couple of years, but I just want to have a winning team in a couple of years and not finish eighth and just lose in the first round or something. So I think the coaches and the staff, the general manager, and just have been pretty bad in the last year. I think that's the biggest problem.
If you were to win the World Series of Poker main event this summer, and let's say you win $9 million, would you be willing to buy Scott Gomez out of his contract with that money? I think that'd be a good thing.
I would certainly think about it.
You would be the biggest hero in Montreal Canadiens history, so maybe you should do that. We talked about Jamet earlier, and next week's guest we have Laurence Grondin from Espace Jeux. There's Chris McClung. There seems to be so much talent coming out of Quebec when it comes to poker. How do you think your win, Jonathan's win, obviously McClung playing well, how do you see that, have you seen that affect the community, poker community in the province of Quebec?
I didn't get your last question, Eric. Sorry.
Do you think, or what has been the effects of your win, of Jonathan's win, of your successes? How do you think that's influenced, let's say, the poker playing community in Quebec? I assume there's a buzz out there for poker.
Honestly, these people, Chris McClung and Laurence, have been playing for years, so I don't think Jonathan's win and my win influence their result. I just think there's a lot of variance in poker, and Quebecers just have been started running way better in the last 2 years than the couple of years before. And I think we have a great group of poker players too. There's a lot of good players here. And I just think variance has been on our side in the last 2 years.
Something I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I see you play and when I see Jonathan play and others, am I right in assuming that when Pascal Lefrançois sits at a poker table, it's almost like he's a Montreal Canadiens hockey player, that he takes it as a competition, and you almost put yourself in a sporting event more than more than just psychological warfare. You seem to be very intense in wanting to win this.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably one of my best quality as a poker player to just like competition, and I've learned that through sports. I've been doing sports for my entire life, so I think it really helped me out at a poker table in a competition, when there's competition, because there's a lot of different people in the poker world. I don't think most of them are used to a lot of pressure and a lot of competition, and I've been through this entire life, so I think it really helped me when I was deep in tournaments.
Do you know of any up and coming rising stars in the poker world in Quebec, maybe people in your circle of friends that we might want to start writing their names down as the World Series is coming in about 75 days.
Excuse me? What's the last question? I didn't.
What about maybe in your group of poker friends or maybe some names we haven't really heard of in the poker world that might be people that we might see winning in the next few years?
Well, the couple of them for sure. There's one of my friends, he's mostly playing online, Marc-André Ladussard. He's a cash game player, and he came 64th, I think, in the main event this year. And I think he's planning to travel a little bit more. So maybe you're going to hear about him. There's all there's also Philippe Dautet, which has accomplished a lot online, but I think he plans to play to travel and play a couple of events. So you might hear about them in the next few months and in the next few years.
For sure, Phil Dautet was in the news a few weeks ago, I believe. He ran deep in a tournament, so that's always good to hear. Pascal, are you planning you're planning to join us at the World Series of Poker. Are you playing a full schedule? Has that been determined yet on your side?
I'm planning to go to Berlin and Monaco in April for EPTs, but I don't know. I don't plan. My trips 6 months before, so I don't know what I'm gonna do in this series this year. I'll play the main 100%, but I don't know if I'm gonna go there for a month or 2 weeks. Or I'm kind of. I was kind of tired when I left Vegas last year, and I was exhausted. So I don't think I'm gonna stay for a month and a half this year. But I don't know for how long yet.
Do you play on the have you played on the Espoir website?
On which Espoir? No, I haven't played. I haven't played on this on their website on the Espoir.
Where do you play online, Pascal? For the most part.
Well, I used to play on Stars and Full Tilt, but I'm only playing on Stars for now. A little bit on Party Poker too.
What's on the horizon? You mentioned Berlin, you mentioned Monaco. Are there specific goals you set for yourself? I know you say you don't plan ahead when it comes to travel, but do you have a specific goal in mind for the next year? Is that something that you do think about?
Yeah, for now I'm just focused. I just focus on playing more online. I bought a new place and I just feel good at home, so I'm just my poker goals for now are mostly online, and when I travel for poker, obviously I want to play my best over there. But I know how big is the variance, so I can't, and I've never set concrete goals when it comes to tournaments. It's more about. I mostly play cash games online, and it's more about the number of hands and the amount of money I want to make a month and stuff like that for now.
What's, our producer's asking me to ask you this in French, so that's what I'll do then. Ça te fait sur le fond en français quelques minutes?
Est-ce que tu veux une réponse en français ou en anglais?
En français, on va avoir du fun avec notre public.
En français, ok, c'est bon.
Pascal, le poker, c'est-tu quelque chose que tu décides de faire comme carrière pour le reste de tes jours, ou c'est quelque chose que, est-ce qu'il y a quelque chose d'autre que tu peux peut-être te voir faire si ça te tente plus jouer au poker? On sait beaucoup de gens, disons en bas de la trentaine, ça semble être, il y en a beaucoup pour eux, que c'est pas certain exactement ce qu'ils veulent faire pour le reste de leur vie. Pourquoi c'est quelque chose de bénéficiaire pour eux?
Ben c'est sûr que le poker je vois ça moi à court moyen terme là. C'est sûr que d'ici 4-5 ans je commence déjà à avoir d'autres projets là pour l'instant là. Fait que le poker c'est sûr que c'est encore important. Puis je vois plus le poker comme un moyen en ce moment pour un moyen pour avoir la vie un peu plus facile plus tard, puis peut-être pouvoir me partir des projets Je pense pas faire ça. Je me vois pas voyager puis pour le poker puis être tout le temps sur la route puis faire ça encore à 35 ans. Là. Le poker c'est plus pour l'instant. Puis j'ai d'autres projets puis c'est sûr que je vais pouvoir faire quelque chose d'autre dans un avenir assez proche.
See, now you said something that really piqued my curiosity, so let's switch back to English and and stop having fun for a second. You've mentioned a few times that you seem to have been tired out by the long schedule and the grind of going, having to go to places, and that's why you're playing online. That does seem like something that's a recurring event for you. You were really when you mentioned you were tired after the World Series, you were literally tired, I assume. You know, you weren't just good after a few days. It took a while for you to come back, I assume.
Yeah. I think it's not. Playing poker is tougher than it looks like. And it's tough mentally on the long run. And I think in the last year in Las Vegas, where we were like 8 or 10 of us in the house, so. I didn't have really good hours of sleep, and with the fact that I was playing almost every day, I was just exhausted, and I just don't want this to happen again, because I don't think I played my A game for a couple of tournaments because of that, and I'm just gonna play less tournaments the next time and try to sleep better, because I think it's really important.
Now I assume the partying is part of the problem, isn't it?
yeah, for sure. Yeah, honestly, it's part of the problem.
Good. No, that's fine. You're a good Canadian boy. That's how we like to hear it. last quick question for you, Pascal. When you do play, or if you do play live in Montreal or in the area, is there a specific room you play at?
Well, it's I don't play really often live. When I play, I go. It's sometimes at the playground, and sometimes at the Montreal Casino, and that's it. But I'm, like I said before, I'm mostly playing online.
Perfect. Glad to hear it. Well, Pascal, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I do apologize for reaching you on such a late time. We're both on the Eastern Seaboard, but. I do appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again either before or during the World Series, my friend.
Okay, for sure. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Merci beaucoup.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
See ya.
Bye.
So that was Pascal Lefrançois, and as I mentioned, my first co-French-Canadian on the show. Very proud of that moment. We thank Pascal. He's a great poker player, and if you've not read about him or heard about him, he's just a fun guy and seems to enjoy life, which is why I had him revert to English for that last comment that really struck a chord in saying that, you know, he was very tired after World Series, and it looked like it was an accumulation of a few years of poker and partying, as we all dream of doing. Let's take a last quick break.
Ain't nobody can bang with us. Rascals, checkmate, crying down the thrust. Chaclair coming down with the north and touch. Yeah. Why you people wanna bang with us? Ain't nobody can hang with us. Rascals, checkmate, crying down the thrust. Chaclair coming down with the north and touch. Check the lingo, we spread throughout the atmosphere. So distinctive, no other style comes near. So when you hear, you got to peer over the ledge to get a glance, to know who is the man with the talent.
Flipping the words like my body on the apparatus.
Sky's the limit, so we're bound to break through the stratus.
With these rhymes and a classic.
Forget the fast or the fashion. Statements I make on the microphone.
Hey, yo, world domination, the base of the foundation. No time wasted.
Firewalk, we trail blazing.
Burn to the next destination. Flexing on this world exploration. Teamed with the best in the nation.
Yes, and who that be?
Custom design, fine rhymes in the salary. All the way from T-Dot to the Band City All-Star. Rude boys treat you like a fantasy.
Word up.
Yes. From the Northwest, Van City, I like chillin' Monday night, Raw watching. Yeah. Me and Danny O at the Sky Dome. When it's in town, my peoples know I just be regular. So haters start dissing, but steady. Reciting my lyrics up with my in their mouth. They swallowing, talking about they need some oxygen. People need to know, chocolate, I'm moving no slow-mo. Into like a gano, Carlos. Dollars in fist now. How you gon' feel when you see the six triple low? We'll start the pill. Swap dog appeal. Y'all know the deal. If you don't, ask my man why dog. He'll tell you the circle rides the spot. These represents like my Northwest Connect rap goes. They make the cash flows indeed. Yo, I down the ghost slog a big C puffs up. Shot clear with the mouth, colorful like the currency.
We know so high. Ain't nobody can bang with us. Rascal checkmate, cut it down the front. Shot clear coming down with that North and tough. Why you people wanna bang with us? Ain't nobody can hang with us. Rascal checkmate, cut it down the front. Shot clear coming down with that Northern. If you touch me,
I'm running with these villainous cats, sir. Fly to die, bruh, kicking that all about rapture. You heard a killer cat like this. Smooth dominating session. Like hoes get bucked, so when I'm flexing. Dillinger running up on ya, so what you thinking? I got rhymes like politicians, steady politicking. Kick a move, I don't age, yo, I improve. Then maximize my time like we fighting in the spotlight. Aight then, who wanna battle, you must be tripping. Whack, it should be served in whipping. We fortify, get live with then it came cross season overland. Got people in Jamaica, plenty in London, Australia. I bring the soul to the front like Mahalia. Curb style, we'll make it fuck wild. Cold flipping set trip, then I dip and that's it.
North Stars, you know who we are. Notorious superstar. Just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. I know you up in here to release your dump. Some frontin' with the loot while others got the wealth.
Where are you?
I'm in the VI, undetected like a self. Girl, you had a shake simply, you had a figure. Can I zoom, zoom, lick a shot, you pull the trigger. Club scene, honey, I'll show you something much bigger. When it's said and done, you'll be like, ooh, that's my... Started from scratch, a baby blue eye figure. She's a gold digger, on to kill figure. Got you, she wanna swigger. We haven't had to fam, cause we them much bigger. Thrust. I make a upper style that you wanna represent. Present, in other words, I pay the rent. From the past to the present and the future. Whatever suits you, it's all the same. This kid's got game.
We ain't notorious, huh? Ain't nobody can bang with us. Rascal, checkmate, cutting out the thrust. Shot clear coming down with the Northern touch. Yo, why you people wanna bang with us? Ain't nobody can hang with us. Rascal, checkmate, cutting out the thrust. Shot clear coming down with the Northern touch. The Northern touch, baby.
All right, welcome back. It is time to wrap the show and have a little, let's have a little after show like Casa does sometimes. I'm jealous when he does that. Mr. Zach, are you on?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, let me just keep talking for a second. I just have to change one setting, sir. Give me one second.
Zach, it was a rookie mistake of keeping his feet on, so let's wait
okay.
for him for that.
There we go. I just didn't want to have it reverbing. I was listening to it on the speaker, so I can attend to a few other things. It was a lot of fun with Pascal. I have to ask you, Mr. Danis.
Yes.
You are now a YouTube star, so I just have to make sure. You've seen all the videos we've done with the French Canadians, right?
Yeah, of course.
So what happened?
What do you mean?
Well, what happened in those videos?
With French kids. Oh, now you're testing my mind. I just had to talk to two lawyer-type people for just for half an hour.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was intense, to be very honest. I always pride myself in researching things. And, you know what I mean? I always want to know the most that I can, and I did read, I won't lie, about 17 or 18 articles on the subject of the... You know, the news from Paul Godfrey on Tuesday, and you know we talked about it right after because I was curious to get someone's point of view from it. I didn't know you'd get me two amazing people with gigantoid brains. You know, my pride is hurt because I do consider myself to be sort of a smart person, but you know my smartness is filled with poker and hockey stats. Unfortunately, these guys they know what the hell they're talking about, so. It was easy. I think I asked four questions, and that was 20 minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, it's a good thing we didn't have Averro on tonight.
See, I don't think he could handle that, man.
I don't even... Well, the good thing is he would have been able to understand a little bit of what Pascal was saying, but, yeah, poor Averro. I mean, I think this was a good show for him to skip. I think that was a little over Averro's head, you know.
we have the lawyer types and the French on the show tonight, just for Averro.
Yeah, just for Averro, exactly. You know, yet another bracelet winner, and yeah, and, you know, the lawyers, that was great. I mean, there's so much going on now in Ontario. You know, gaming is big everywhere in the world, and it's interesting to have, you know, like Mr. Burns is, I think, top of the food chain when it comes to gaming. He's VP of the biggest, I think, one of the biggest gaming groups up there in Canada. So that was a lot of fun and very interesting stuff. But yeah, so the Canadians, I mean, my goodness, the French Canadians, this is just like they're taking over the poker world, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, you know, I'm not too disappointed with that. And we'll have Laurence Grandet next week on, and she's from Espagne. So it'll be great to talk to her about
that. How do you say her name?
Laurence.
Laurence?
Right. Grandin.
What is the last one?
Grandin.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, you're going to have to let Averro intro her. I mean, I know I can't even say the first name correct. I'd love to have Averro introduce her.
Yeah, let's insult the guest right from the start, right?
Sure, yeah, especially with Averro. Yeah, I mean, it'll be a lot of fun. Be like, okay, you got this. So a little bit of background. What is this is a female, correct?
Correct.
And she's a poker pro?
She's a pro for Espagne, and Espagne is basically Quebec's version of their, you know, their own poker system that obviously is coming to Ontario shortly. And Stu mentioned that it was in BC. I thought it wasn't there yet, but he knows better than me, so I guess a provincial-run site like they have for poker stars in France and in
Belgium.
Right. So I'm actually very excited to talk to her about that. You know, that's something that's curious to me as a non-Quebecer, non-DCer, to see how that works. And, you know, obviously you don't want to ask questions like, does the site suck? But, you know, it'll be curious to see, you know, in her 2 years with that company or with the Quebec, Loto-Québec, how did that, you know, what's the impact? Was it only a few hundred people playing at first and now a lot of people, probably since Black Friday, like the fact that they're playing for a site that is owned and operated by the government, therefore, you know, their funds are safe and secure. So, you know, it'll be great. I'm really excited to talk to her about that part and obviously talk to her about her appearance on the Party Poker Big Game from 2 years ago. And if you're not a fan of the Party Poker Big Game, you have to be. They play basically 48 straight hours of poker, and you get the likes of Tony G in there and Viffer, and she had played with Viffer, and Neil Channing was right next to her wearing a Komodo. So we'll definitely talk about that. But she's really cool. I really like her, and she was gung-ho from the start to being on, so I think she'll be a great guest. Yeah.
That's really good, and hopefully Averro will be alive. I think he's at a stag tonight, so I think he's probably getting drunk.
I don't want to rat him out, but although he was in Detroit for like 2 days or something.
Yeah, what happened? What happened with that, though?
I'm not sure, but he's on Facebook almost asking anyone with a car, even if they live in Vancouver, to come pick him up, so I can't wait to talk to him about that. That was hilarious. I woke up one day. And
yeah, because he's from London, and London's only a couple-hour drive.
Yeah.
So where did he... I don't understand. He had a connecting flight from Detroit to where? London? London, Ontario? I mean, I just don't understand.
Because he wouldn't have gone to Toronto, right? Because then that's counterproductive.
It's like the same distance. You might as well just drive from Detroit. I have no idea. Listen, it doesn't surprise me with Averro. you know? He probably was flying to Ottawa and then driving back. I mean, I have no idea,
that's
Mr. Manis.
Right.
It was
cheaper.
Yeah, it was cheaper.
He doesn't pay $2 for AC per day, so he probably is the one to get the cheap flight through Montreal, right?
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, it shouldn't have been a surprise to me, because the one time when we had him on camera from back in Canada, in the middle of the dead of winter, you know, they were all lying around in blankies. I don't know if you saw that, but they had, like, blankets all over everybody, and I never thought anything of it. You know, I thought, maybe they're just in the basement, it's a little cool down there. And then when he's down in Costa Rica, and he's not even turning on the AC, I'm like, these guys, I don't even think they know what a thermostat is, Mr. Dan.
Maybe they don't, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like they literally don't even know what a thermostat is, and they just literally, you know, cover up and get down to the boxers in the middle of the summer. I have no idea.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so it'll be interesting to hear how his trip was and how the trip back was, and if he got mugged in Detroit. I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Do you think he's pissed that our first video destroyed whatever videos he's ever... Oh, I can't say that. That's mean. But over 2,000 hits, Mr. Zach. We're on fire.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, we're having a lot of fun with this, and what can we expect, Mr. Dennis? I mean, this is going to be a weekly thing that we're going to be doing here, and so what can we expect? I mean, this is we can't make it worse. We can only make it better. So there's going to be a lot of news this week as well, I assume, yeah?
Yeah, we're picking up some news. I'm just I just watched Negron News about a couple hours ago,
right?
And I think I need to be a bit more excited because he's way too overboard. He needs an editor, by the way. Mr. Negron needs an editor because he's cutting out the last sentence that he says. So thank you, sir, for not doing that with me. But we can expect a lot of better things. This was a venture that Zach and I, a little power session. We were talking about what we can do next, and that's something we came up with, and I thank you for that idea. But this was brutal. The first one around was brutal. It took about 3 hours, and for no reason, apparently.
It's good that you, I mean, whatever, we had to learn, but it's one of those things where it took me less time to edit this, than it did for you to actually film it, and it shouldn't be the case. Editing should always be the post-production should always be the thing that takes the longest. And speaking of Mr. Negrano, I tell you what, he's doing a really good job for just starting into this editing stuff, and he also isn't using very good software as well. So he's limited on, I think he's just limited to the software he's using. No offense to iMovie, but it's definitely, it's your entry-level editing software. And, to be honest, he's doing a great job with the tools that he has available to him. And, he's doing this all himself, which, I commend him. This is a guy that easily could afford to hire a full-on TV production studio to come in and do this shit for him. But he's having fun with it. And it,
oh,
and
yeah,
it shows.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. So yeah, so listen. I mean, we're gonna be patiently awaiting for Sunday's edition of the Week in Review with Mr. U Danis.
Will be fun.
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. And good show tonight. And like you said, we'll have a very good panel of guests next week, and Avero hopefully will be alive.
That's right.
That's what I'm hoping for. I just want the kid to be alive.
Give a sign of life.
Yeah, exactly. Just please send a simple tweet, sir, just saying that you are alive and you got out of Detroit. That's all I want to know. But anyways, Mr. Dennis, listen, we have the Poker Gossip Show coming on a little later this evening, and
yes,
I believe, I don't know if I should be saying this, so I will wait till he tweets, but watch the Twitters, because I believe we have a very special guest coming on later tonight with Poker Gossip.
Very nice.
And it's not Avero.
Yeah, that's why you skipped our show, so you could be on Gossips.
Exactly, half in the bag.
Live from the Doe and Stag, right? Stag and
Yeah, I love this kid. He smokes and drinks on air in video. It's so much fun. The first time I showed Marco some of the video with him smoking, he curled over laughing. this kid is a piece. He's a piece of work, Mr. Dennis, and I love him for it. It's a lot of fun.
He's a fun guy.
Thank God we have somebody like you with a little bit of responsibility,
I try.
That's it. That's good. Okay, listen, Mr. Dennis, next week, and for everybody that wants to see that week in review, they can find it some point. We'll 100% say it's going to be up on Monday morning, but if you peek around, they'll see it on Sunday afternoon.
Perfect.
Okay, man. Good show tonight. See you shortly.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your help.
Take care.
See you, folks.